Today's scripture readings are from Genesis 12, 1 through 4a. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your great name, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Would you please pray with me? Glorious Almighty God, we give you thanks for this day. And as we hear these words, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you. For you are our rock, our redeemer, our creator, and our God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So back in 1997, there was this struggling internet startup company. Some of you might, you may be able to recognize the name. I think they called it Amazon. Well, Amazon was losing money hand over fists. Many people weren't ready to purchase books over the internet. They didn't even know there was such a company. And in an effort to get readers to their website, Amazon invited noted author John Updike to begin and end a mystery story, sort of like we did with the children this morning. He submitted the opening of a novel that he had begun in 1960 and never finished. It was about a magazine editor named Miss Tasso Polk. And for each of the next 45 days, the public was invited to submit the story's next paragraph. Thousands of people entered each day, and each day's winner won $1,000. The next day's contestants returned daily for the next month and a half to see what strange and new direction the story had taken and how they might respond, sort of like the children did this morning. And often the story seemed to pin prospective writers into a corner, even reaching a dead end. "Now you get out of this mess," it seemed to say to the next writer submitting a story. With 45 different authors writing new paragraphs and then trying to piece them together, the story took many twists and turns, sort of like our story did up here this morning. The strangest twist Updike remembered was when Miss Polk got into a taxi and is driven in short order to an estate with a cobblestone drive and a grove of boxwood and elm trees in downtown Manhattan. But eventually the story was finished and the mystery was solved, and thanks to the ending written by John Updike, all went well. Now, think about the book of Genesis. By the 12th chapter of that biblical book, history has been written into a corner. The several human actors who wrote their own parts of the saga through their free will had created so many twists and turns that God's story seems to have been written into a dead end. Despite God's creation of a stable, reliable universe, disobedience has forced humanity out of the Garden of Eden. One brother killed another, and evil spread. Genesis 65 tells us, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." God despaired because of humanity's evil and wiped the slate and the earth clean through a flood. Then the boundary between parents and children was breached through the actions of Noah and one of his sons. And mortals, in their vanity, built a tower in order to storm heaven and make themselves little g gods. But soon, Babel was in ruin and the people were confused. The human actions of these first 11 chapters seem to have left God's plans in tatters. And when you read the first 11 chapters, we call that the universal history of man. And then to top it all, beginning in chapter 12, Terah leaves Ur of the Chaldeans and would one day be the promised land. And he gets halfway there and he stops. I'm not going any further. I like it here. I'm going to stay here. One of his sons dies, leaving behind an orphan Lot. Another son, Abram, and his wife were incapable of bearing children. So here is Abram with no future. And like John Updike's story, God's story seems to have been painted into a corner because of the twists and turns of human actors in history come to a dead end. Yet it is this family, this very family, that God calls into a glorious future. Abram and Sarai respond to God's call, and perhaps this is because they feel they are incomplete. This call takes place against the backdrop of the human need that Abraham and Sarai desired something more than security, prosperity, and safety. What they desired was children. Much human action begins with that felt need for children. Otherwise, why would anyone pick up stakes, move away from home and family to a distant land? Dissatisfaction is a powerful, powerful motivator. The root of the story of the United States is to be discovered in human need. Whether we are new to this continent or have been here for several generations, many of our family histories began with a perilous journey to the New World. Religious dissenters traveled from Europe to America, exposing them not only to the crossing, but to the near certainty that they would never see their loved ones again. Economic refugees to America for a new life come for new possibilities, and those whose story has reached a dead end sought new beginnings here. Many of these left behind their mother tongue and their fatherland. And while many of us are not called to take similar perilous crossings for our faith, we may be undertaking a spiritual journey, challenging ourselves at the urging of the Spirit to cross economic, ethnic, or other boundaries in order to serve God more authentically. But not everyone has made or makes such a journey. The fear of the uncertain future can be so strong that we may find it difficult to change. Some of us prefer the stalemate or even the hell we know to the possibilities of a new beginning because we don't want to face the uncertainty. One thing is for sure, Abram and Sarai are not the heroes we might expect to see in an epic movie. Two young lovers about to set out on a great quest. They are more than mature. They have left their marks of age. But these are the marks of beauty as well, because God looks beyond age. In the scriptures, we see not only the young, but the middle-aged and the elderly called into God's service. What Abram and Sarai share is of more value than fleeting health and youth. By answering God's call, they have a purpose. The poem "Sailing to Byzantium" by William Butler Yeats begins, "That is no country for old men," describing a world of young people, a vibrant creation inhabited by creatures of the earth and sea and sky in active exhilaration or exaltation. The poet continues, An aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick. Pretty grim picture. At least until the poet adds the crucial word, unless. Unless soul clap its hands and sing, and louder sing. When our soul claps hands and sings even louder, when we have a new vision, we embrace new life, whether we are young or old or in between. For example, anthropologist Mary Douglas, long before old age, had established herself with a formidable reputation as a cultural anthropologist. She was published 15 weighty and highly respected texts on various subjects beginning in 1950. Then in her late 70s and early 80s, she turned to the Bible and wrote about Numbers and Leviticus, applying what she had observed around the world regarding codes of clean and unclean. She discovered real insights into what meaning these biblical books have for our lives today. In the book of Proverbs, we read, "Where there is no vision, people perish." Having a vision for life is crucial, but it's more important to act on that vision. God's plan for Abram and Sarai is cosmic as well as inspiring. Everything will be changed. God will grant the two descendants beyond number. God will bless them and bless those who bless them and curse those who curse them. Indeed, you, all the families of the earth, shall be blessed, is what God tells Abram. But for this to happen, Abram and Sarai have to act. Archaeologists have discovered scientific marvels that originated thousands of years ago. Batteries, astronomical computers, speculation about advanced science. But these did not change the ancient world because they were never developed or generally used. The ancients, or rather the rich and powerful in the ancient world, were content to build a world on the backs of slaves and on the backs of the very poor. God offered Abram and Sarai a vision transformed by his promises. Promises so powerful that they carry forward even through today. When we too are offered an epic vision of a transformed world. This time and supremely, the transformation happens through the truth of Jesus' resurrection. Despite the many twists and turns of history and human sin, there is great possibility for transformation and salvation, provided we're willing to act on God's promises. But if God gives us the opportunity to say yes to the vision and the promise, God is also willing to let us say no. There's a marvelous scene in the novel, The Lord of the Rings. The two hobbits, Sam and Frodo, are on a seemingly impossible and hopeless quest. They have forced their way to the edge of the evil land of Mordor. They are taking their rest before the final push when Sam muses about that in some way they have found themselves in a story of the sort that he had enjoyed listening to when he was younger. He says at one time he thought that people in great stories went out and sought such great adventures. And now he admits, "I expect they had lots of chances like us of turning back, only they didn't. And if they hadn't, we shouldn't know because they would have been forgotten." Implicit in the scripture is that Abram also could have said no, as could Mary when she was approached by Gabriel, or Elisha when called by Elijah, or maybe Isaiah, or maybe Jeremiah. They could have said no as well. They could have argued with God that they were too sinful, too young. But the ones we know about, the ones that made the cut, are in the scripture. They weren't perfect or perfectly handsome or beautiful or even admirable 100% of the time. Look at King David. But they saw the vision and they said yes. God is still creating a future through speech. It was by a word that the world was called into being. God's word created a future for Abram and Sarai where none had existed before. God's word made flesh came to save the world. God's promised us life. So say yes to the vision. You are one of the descendants of Abram and Sarai, through whom God means to bless all the families of the earth. God's story includes an ending of wonderful and joy and peace, incorporating the paragraph each of us writes into this great saga, with an ending to cap all endings. Let your soul clap its hands and sing. Let your light shine for all people. Say yes to God, get up and go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.